You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 398. Today is Sunday, April 22nd, 2018, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hammy and Kurt. And folks, please help out the podcast by spreading the word. Go to iTunes and write a review, and please retweet the show when we share links on Twitter. All right, so guys, in tonight's show, we'll introduce some new segments focusing on Acuna, Dansby, and Ozzie. We'll discuss the team's continued strong start, Freddie's wrist, Julio's dominant week, as well as Whistler's incredible start. But first, a quick break. All right, we're now through the first seven series of the year. The Braves are 12-8, two games out of first. Heading into Sunday's games, the Braves still lead the NL in runs scored, are second in hits, tied for first in on base, and lead the league in slugging percentage. That may be the craziest one, by
yeah,
the way.
Totally crazy.
The starters are second in ERA, eighth in FIP, and ninth in WHIP. The relievers are eighth in ERA, less surprising, eighth in FIP, and 11th in WHIP.
And first in walks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, exactly.
And that's actually not even a joke. That's the truth.
No, it's not. They are dead last or first, however you want to look at it, in walks per nine. So, Ham, there's so much the team is doing well so far. Some worrisome things, too, as we just mentioned.
Yep.
So give me a date, Ham, by which you'd be willing to truly believe that this team could finish this season at least, call it, five games over 500.
So if they kept playing at this pace for how long, like, when am I actually going to believe that this is something real for the year?
Yeah, and I'm not even saying on that date they're five games over 500, but you're like, this team is for real. It's going to, you know, approach high 80s in wins.
So I think something has to change for me to believe this. So I think, the way that I would answer this question is, two ways. One, what is for real in my mind? What is not for real? Like, is this really the team that the Braves are they playing above their heads? And I think in a lot of ways they are. I got to see him Tuesday night. I got to go to SunTrust Park for the first time. Loved it.
Your first time in Atlanta, Hammy. How'd you like it?
Yeah, since birth, since being born there, and the 30 years that were sort of cloudy. So it was great, and the stadium's great. You know, I think their defense is good. I think their defense mm-hmm. is sustainable. Like, they turned a lot of double plays Tuesday nights against the Phillies, and I like the Ozzie Dansby combo. Freddie's obviously really good. Ender's obviously very good. Acuna's coming up. So I think their defense is sustainable. I think the offense, in a lot of ways, is sustainable. If you look at the team, BABIP, the batting average of balls in play, it's .317, which is slightly lucky, but not that lucky. Like, they're earning this, right? And they've actually been playing in situations and parks that favor pitchers more than hitters. So they are – the offense is the real deal. You know, maybe Flaherty, Tucker is not sustainable, but I believe in Ender and Ozzie and Dansby and Freddie and Markakis, a lot of people to believe in. And I think our bench is really solid. But I don't forget
the greatest player of all time, Kurt Suzuki.
Oh, that's right, the great Suzuki.
The second greatest Kurt of all time.
Yes, exactly. Shout out to Ike there on that one. But I think our bullpen will hold us back. And I think they're a total mess. Other than Minter and maybe Vizcaino, who looks great sometimes and not always great other times, we cannot win with this bullpen. We cannot sustain this winning percentage with this bullpen. So I think in order for us to actually be five games over 500, maybe contend for a playoff spot, we have to be buyers at the deadline. I don't think we're getting a better bullpen from what we have in the system right now.
So just a quick thing on the bullpen, Ham, is that it will not remain static, right? I mean, we saw Anthopoulos after Josh Ravin,
sure.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, Mrs. his mom.
Mrs. Raven.
Yes.
Or Ravin.
You know, who was not bad. I mean, I know in the second inning he hit the pitcher and it sort of everything fell apart then, but he really looked pretty good in that first inning, and Anthopoulos DFA'd him the next day. I mean, he does not care, and he is going to move guys in and out. So my only point is, it could change. You know, he's going to move guys in and out. Biddle came in and looked good. I just don't know that we're stuck with this.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, I mean, that's the only thing I need to see. If we all of a sudden find something that clicks with the bullpen, and maybe even at the deadline where, you know, we are over 500 and we become buyers and maybe get a couple pieces to shore up the bullpen, I think at that point, I believe it. I think if we can get to mid-year with a winning percentage and maybe, you know, are somewhat active, you know, obviously not selling the farm to win this year, but maybe shoring up some pieces or taking advantage of some teams that are selling to get some bullpen arms, I believe then that I would think this team could carry it all the way through the end of the season. I'm not believing it now. It's too early for now.
Yeah, I don't believe it now fully. But, you know, they've played the toughest. I saw this today on the internet, so it must be true that they've played the toughest schedule so far in the majors, you know, based on the teams that they ended up playing, their winning percentage at the time they played. I mean, it's been a rough first month, and it's amazing what they've done. Curtis, what do you have circled on the calendar for this?
Well, I was just looking literally at the calendar. I'm like, you're sort of looking for a time when, I know that you mentioned that the record of the teams they played have been good, but in the back of your mind, you really don't think about the Phillies or maybe even the Mets as teams that long term that might be all that good. I mean, I went to the game on Friday night, and it's shocking to me that the Mets have the record that they do because their lineup isn't all that great. Defensively, they're not all that great. Of course, they have the starting pitching in a couple of places, but it is not a team that seems like they have one of the best records in baseball. But looking ahead, you know, you sort of look for these big pockets of when they will have to face these long stretches against really good competition. I mean, May is pretty soft.
Cincinnati, Florida.
Yeah, you get the Marlins, you get more Phillies, you do have to play the Red Sox, but I mean, it's lots of Mets, Tampa Bay, the Giants, who are not very good, and it sort of carries on. I mean, obviously you're going to have a lot of games where you're playing the Mets and the Nationals. That's just the way that the schedule is, but then you get the Padres and you get, you know, I mean, the Reds again. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So you feel like it could be sustainable just because there do not seem to be, as of so far in the season, that many really, really great teams that have really broken out. I mean, Ham, you have more access to the Red Sox than we do.
Total access. Friend of the team.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, obviously they've got one of the best records in baseball. So, you know, but other than that, none of these teams really scare me. Maybe Arizona's pretty good, but St. Louis, Milwaukee, or any of those teams making you quake in their boots, you know? And so I don't see why, given the level of competition right now, that the Braves can't sustain this. In my heart, I feel like they're as good as any of these teams going out. They've proven to be as good as any of the two teams in front of them in the National League East. So are the Mets any better or worse than the Cardinals are? I don't think so.
So, Curtis, is that end of May for you? Like, if we get through that soft stretch in May, you think will you start? Or do you believe now?
I honestly feel like I sort of believe now. I think you're right about the bullpen. The bullpen is just the walks. I think they have 16 or something more walks than any other bullpen in Major League Baseball, which is just killer. And you can't do that. I mean, you can't inning after inning after inning put the first guy on via a walk or hit the pitcher or something like that, you know, who's batting in the 11th inning or whatever it was the other night. I mean, you just can't do that stuff and sustain the wins. And they don't have a closer. They don't really have a designated closer because we don't have a guy that's just guaranteed that's going to go out there 95% of the time and shut another team down. But all the other pieces are there, and we're still missing Flowers. We're still waiting for Acuna. We're still waiting for Jose Bautista. So, yeah, I mean, I've sort of bought in now.
Yeah. So, Ham, I will go end of May. It's 11 more series. And to your point, Kurt, I mean, you made a lot of these points, right? Hopefully, for the love of God, by the end of May, we'll have had Acuna for a while. Gohara should be in there for a while. We'll know more about what Flaherty really is and what we can expect out of Camargo. We'll know if Dansby really is this guy, if Tehran has figured things out. And yeah, back to the bullpen, right? we'll know in a month that the bullpen's in better shape. They are dead last in walks per nine at, you can't make this stuff up, 6.66. And it's a full walk and a half worse than the next team, which happens to be the Reds, where we head to.
And the Reds are 3-18.
Yeah. And we we cannot keep dodging these bullets. It is going to come back and haunt us. We've been so lucky.
Well, and you look at what their 1-4 record in extra innings, I think.
Right. Yep.
I mean, that is directly correlatable to the bullpen.
I like correlatable.
Yeah, I don't think it's a word, but okay.
No, right. Does that ever stop, Kurt? No.
It's true.
And it shouldn't.
Coining words also is my new thing.
Yeah.
All right, so so Curtis, also this week, a massive scare played out over the course of about 18 hours when Freddie Freeman left Wednesday night's game against the Phillies after getting hit by a pitch in almost the exact same spot as he was hit last year, resulting in his broken wrist. So unbelievably, Freddie suffered no broken bones and started the next game, going 2-for-3 and driving in a run. So, Curtis, what to you was crazier about the whole thing, that he was uninjured or that Snitker actually let him play that next game?
I think that he was uninjured. The shock that when you watched him walk off the field like that, all you could think was that he knew exactly what had happened.
Exactly.
It was the same, and he knew it from what happened before. And we all remember the tear that he was on last year before that cost him so much time. And regardless of all these other guys having these great seasons, I still think, Ham, I know that you got lots of Ozzie love, but I still think the key component to everything that the Braves have any intention of doing starts and ends with Freddie Freeman. There's just no getting around that. You cannot replace him in any capacity. I knowing Freddie Freeman and personally, you know, me and he ride around on SUVs together, but I know that just what you know about his character and what a teammate he is, that if he could play, he was going to be back in there. So that part doesn't really surprise me. Just the miracle that he was not hurt and that it was the exact effectively. And I think it was a half an inch that saved us from missing Freddie Freeman again for 40 games this year. So a miracle. But yeah, that was stomach churning.
That's the word I picked too, Curtis, was miracle. And it's just, you know, I would not add anything different than you already had, except that it makes you start to wonder, like, you know, is luck on the Braves' side this year? It's a weird thing to say for any team from Atlanta or Georgia, but like, is this some, you know, and you can't put too much in this, but is this some harbinger that like the ball will start going our way? You know, maybe
yeah,
it feels lucky. It feels like it's a miracle. That's why.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, Hammy, I had that same thought. I hate to lean on the, you know, Atlanta cursed sports town and all that stuff, but that was my thought that night going to bed of this is shaping up to be a magical season. And this is where it all falls apart.
Yep.
Because of a dumb, stupid injury to Freddie. Just amazing. All right. So don't look now, Hammy.
Okay.
But Julio Teheran put together two really, really good starts at home this past week.
And three Monday good against, starts in a row. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, so Monday against the Phillies, he matched Phillies ace Aaron Nola by going six innings and giving up one earned in comparison to Nola's six inning and two earned. I was at that game. You guys don't just go to the stadium. And then he got even better Saturday night against the Mets when he went seven innings, no runs, one walk, six strikeouts, matching Jacob deGrom. And Hammy, you're right. So the start before those two was in Washington. And over those last three starts, Julio is 19 innings, three earned, eight walks, 22 strikeouts, only one homer. His slash line against is 206, 289, 324. So, Ham, it's hard to say Julio's turned it around, right? It's too early, but it's a great string of games, particularly two of them at home and the other one against the Nats.
Yeah, and it's two things. I mean, you either think because he had – I mean, you know, and Kurt, you defended him, rightfully so. He didn't look great in the opener against the Phillies, but he had – you know, one was a seeing eye hit and some bad luck, but then he looked horrible in his second start. But you start
the Nationals, his first start against the Nationals.
He gave up like 125 runs, but I didn't check the stats if you can imagine. But I know that he looked horrible, and so you start to wonder, is he injured? Is there something off? Because how does he all of a sudden flip a switch and look great? And I had this theory earlier on in one of our earlier episodes that I think he just started – something changed in his mind, and he just started throwing. He's throwing it harder, right? So he was not getting above 90 with his fastball in those first two games, and then all of a sudden he did. And I think maybe that's either from a health thing, or he just stopped trying to be so careful with the pitches. And maybe he thought, you know, we don't have a lot of room for error. I'm the number one pitcher. I've got to win every game on every pitch. And maybe that was working against him. But so I don't know. I mean, it's hard to understand why this is happening. And it's hard to really put a lot of faith in that this is the new Julio, because I could just very easily see him blowing up on his next start. But I will take it. I'll take it, and I hope that he keeps doing it till we trade him.
Yeah. You know, looks like
– And I love him, but that's his most valued to us long-term is pitching well so we can trade him.
It looks like, particularly Saturday night in his start against DeGrom, his body language was really good. And it literally looked like he was bearing down. Like, he just looks ultra focused. He was keeping the ball down in the zone really well Saturday night. He just looked locked in Saturday night and Monday night in a way I haven't seen him in a while. And maybe, Hammy, to your point, it is almost more of a started as a mental thing and now it's become a physical thing. Yeah, let's keep it up.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So next up is fair or foul, where you agree with something fair or disagree with it foul. So following Anibal Sanchez's freak injury, which looked much less serious than first thought, he could be ready to pitch in a couple weeks. It's just a mild hamstring strain. Matt Whistler ended up getting the start in the first game of the Mets series. And to say that he exceeded everyone's expectations doesn't even start to describe how stupid good he was. 7 innings, 1 earned, no walks, 8 strikeouts.
Crazy.
And he was just dominant. I mean, locating, fooling hitters. It was amazing. And frankly, I think the reason he got the start over someone like Sims was because his, you know, the schedule worked out that it was sort of on his, you know, close to his scheduled day. And I thought, oh, great. What a terrible way to start this four
against the best team in baseball
series against the best team in baseball. Yeah. First in our division.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he's just going to get crushed. So that did not happen. The team has announced that he will be getting another start in Cincinnati this coming week. So, Kurt, fair or foul, he'll look even remotely like the pitcher we saw him be against the Mets on Thursday.
Well, the most important point I'll make is the first one. Correlatable is a word. Thank you very much.
Whoa. I'm glad you've been paying attention. I'm glad you've been paying attention to the show, Kurt.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when it doesn't involve me, it's really not that important. So, no, I want to, that start the other night was Whistler of whenever it was 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, when
yeah,
he was so great.
He's so good.
Young Maddox.
And you want to believe that that's there, but sadly, he sort of teased us at times where he's come out and even pitched well for the Braves and then reverts back to where he doesn't pitch well at all. He did it this spring. He had a couple of decent outings and then sort of fell apart. So I am going to go foul just because what he's shown us the last couple of years is a far cry from where we saw him when he had so much promise. And so until I see it, I will not believe it.
Hammy?
Well, I don't think we could pick a better team for him to face than Cincinnati. Yeah, you know, I mean, if he was going to look, you know, we have really set the bar low for him. They're dead last in runs, home runs, RBI. I think second to last in, near the bottom in most other offensive stats. So I think there is a good chance he's going to look like the pitcher we saw against the Mets just because of that. They don't really have a major league ball club. Now, let's say he gets one more start after this one, which would be on the road and against the Mets again, I believe, And I don't think we see the same pitcher then. So I say fair for this week. If it was a question about the start after this one, I would say foul because I don't think it's sustainable.
Yeah, I mean, he had good numbers in AAA the start of this season. Two starts, 12 innings, three earned, one walk to 11 strikeouts, a whip of .58. But, Kurt, to your point, in spring training, he was bad. I mean, they desperately wanted to put him on the 25-man, whether it was, you know, contending for the fifth starting spot or the long man in the pen. And he just crashed and burned. I mean, he ended up 13 and a third innings, 12 earned, walked three, struck out nine. So all of that said, yeah, I'm going to say foul. I don't believe he's going to look as good, but it's the Reds. Hammy, I'm totally with you. I won't be shocked if he looks good. And then the real test becomes the third start.
Right.
So we'll see. All right. So big news this past week, Jose Bautista signed to a minor league deal.
Crazy.
And
I thought you'd gotten duped again by some, you know, fake Rob Nair, however you say that guy's name.
Yeah. And yet, no,
it's true.
And the Braves have been very clear from the first moment that they want him to be a third baseman. He started extended spring training. He's already gone to the Fire Frogs, the High A club. He's playing third. We're recording this on Sunday night. Ham, the question we were going to ask was, you know, do you think he'll join the 25-man roster at some point? I think we can pretty resolutely say yes, as it was announced this afternoon that he's moving to AAA starting on Monday. So that'll be Monday the 23rd. And both Bowman and DOB saying he could be with the big club at some point this week.
Yeah.
So, Ham, what do you think about Joey Bats joining the 25-man roster?
It's sort of crazy. I mean, he isn't that far removed from the bat flip and also the receipt.
The fight.
Odor, whatever that guy's name, Rough Ned Odor's punch to the face. And I know I'm getting his name wrong, so go ahead and tweet me that, Curtis.
we've been killing the names tonight.
I know, we really have. So that, you know, obviously it brings up all the questions about what the precipitous fall off. But I'm excited. It's exciting and you know, change of scenery. Obviously Anthopoulos and him have some history together, and so I think that's great. And it's all of a sudden we have a lot of options at third base that don't even include Austin Riley. You know, I mean, it does bring up questions. Camargo now is our super bench guy for defensive and offensive replacements, needs. Flaherty is obviously 356, this crazy batting average.
Flaherty hasn't dropped off yet.
At all. Yeah. So, but I also think it's very exciting. And, you know, when you really start to get hopeful for this, you think about there's our cleanup hitter, right? And there's somebody who, you know, with his power, sort of like Matt Kemp when Matt Kemp, you know, was good, protecting Freddie. And all of a sudden, Freddie's walks go down and he has even more opportunities to drive in Ender and Ozzy. A lot to be seen, a lot to get to, but I think the potential is huge here. I'm very excited by the signing.
Do you think it's that huge, Hammy? Last year he was bad.
Yeah, but I mean, so was Dansby, right? Like the dude's not that old, and
he's 37.
Yeah, but there's players who are still being productive at that age. I think. I mean, you saw Adrian Gonzalez kill us. Did we just sign Mike Trout? No. But I think there is a potential where he could provide a spark to us. And I think there's no risk. There's zero risk at him coming in. He's not, you know, he is not blocking Austin Riley. He's not blocking anyone. Camargo has been injured and now makes our bench better. Flaherty is producing like he never has in his career before. So I think there's nothing to lose here. And I don't know. Why not get excited for it?
That 203 batting average and the 308 on base and his negative WAR from last year. And I think the risk, I'm not worried about guys getting blocked because I don't really believe in Camargo, though it would be good to see more from him, I think, is that they fall in love with the name and Bautista from 4 years ago, and he gets a ton of starts at third, and all he does is strike out 25% of the time, and he's really not helping the team. That's my concern. I think he'd be a great bench guy. I want him on the bench. I don't want him being the starting third baseman.
And who are they? I guess my question is, who are they getting rid of? And I'm with you, Steve. My concern is totally that he's here and he's forced in the lineup regardless.
Well, look, there's no shortage of guys to get rid of on the bench. I mean, Borges, Culberson,
yeah,
right, you know.
But I will say, which I'd sort of forgotten about, but Kevin Seitzer was his batting coach back in 2014. And not suggesting that he's going to repeat these numbers, but that was the last really good season he had. It sort of started to drop off after that. He slash line in 2014 was 286, 403, 524 with 35 homers and 103 RBI. So, you know, I mean, if there's some connection that those two guys can make and get a semblance of that, Ham, you brought up Kemp, and I know we used to joke about best shape ever. Jose Bautista is a guy that I think does actually keep himself in shape. And they were talking about the great shape that he was in. And they were shocked by it, the baseball shape that he was in as he's going through this climb back to the major league. So hopefully it's not a case where he's going to come here and make the team and then start eating every sandwich within arm length of him. But
and he has something to prove too.
Yeah, he's never been that guy.
Exactly. So I'm not expecting huge things, but
So Curtis, 2015 slash line of 250, 377, 536, 40 homers. He had more walks than strikeouts. I mean, he slugs 536. I mean, that's not that long ago. Steve, you're putting a lot of stake in one bad season.
And okay, I mean, he's always hit home runs. Even last year when he hit 203, he hit 23 homers. So, right. I mean, the guy you just don't want him to become Dan Uglo where it's all or nothing.
Oh, sure, because he did strike out 170 times last year.
Yeah.
So.
And, Ham, I hear you. I just think a bad year last year when the dude is 36 is different than a lot of other bad years when a guy is young. I just think it can be more meaningful. Although, Hammy, what I like best out of this whole conversation is that not only will you be rooting really hard for Bautista, you're now going to be, like, rooting extra hard to prove it right against Kurt and I.
Well, really against you.
And that only helps.
Just against you, because now I have to add to the list Camargo, Santana, Peterson. You hate every Brave.
I just hate the third baseman since Shipper.
You really do. Adonis.
Yeah, well, come on, man.
Bonifacio.
I mean, it's just like shooting fish in a barrel. All right. So, look, I wanted to, Ham, you mentioned Austin Riley. I want to give a shout out to him because he is seemingly more like the third baseman of the future every day because he's been killing it in Double-A this season. He's slashing 386, 435, 754. He has 8 doubles, 2 triples, and 3 homers. I think when Bautista graduates from Triple-A, I don't think that Austin Riley is far behind from joining the Stripers.
Nice.
All right, guys. Next up, 2 new segments, but first, a quick break. All right. Introducing the Ronald Acuna Jr. Tracker, where we check in on his numbers. With
Rolls
AAA.
Off the tongue.
Yeah, it really does. Oh, then just wait for the next one, Hammy. So his numbers in AAA this past week, so including Sunday's game where he had 3 hits, Acuna is riding a 5-game hit streak. Over these 6 games this past week, he's 8-for-27, a .296 batting average, 1 homer, 4 walks, 8 strikeouts. It's his best week of the young season, and a couple more days like that.
He's not ready.
Keep him down.
Trade him.
Well, and you know, just one last thing on Acuna, which really is to talk about Preston Tucker. So Snicker is still batting him 6th, which I don't understand. Because after slashing 333, 364, 600 in Tucker's first 10 games, in his last 10 games, he's slashing 194, 242, 355. So please, let's bring up Acuna already. fortify the bench with Tucker and get rid of, you know, Borges and get rid of Culberson and, you know, make the team better. My God, Acuna will make the team better.
You think?
Okay. I do. I really do. All right.
Shot in the dark. Acuna makes the Braves better.
Next one. It is the Osby Swansby's tracker, where we see how our two middle infielders did this past week. So Dansby's slash line this week was 304, 360, 478 with a double and a homer. Ozzy's slash line was 273, 385, 455 with a double and a homer. So look, not, you know, the ridiculous 385 batting average stuff, but, you know, just keep this up and it'll be ridiculous that these guys are hitting the ball like this. So good.
Oh, the future. It's so, we're so close to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. With Acuna up. And it's amazing. Like, we're ahead of schedule and it just feels like, you know, it feels so great that.
Yeah. We talked about that the first week we're ahead of schedule and now I really think we're ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
And I do think Acuna will be up before the end of the week. I saw someone on Twitter talking about it was sort of part of the Bobby playbook to call prospects up when they're on the road so that, you know, they're not dealing with the immediate pressure of the home crowd. So, I mean, look, we're far removed from the Bobby era, but I like it. It could work out that way.
I tell you, I was at that game. Sorry to jump in real quick, but that game that Ozzy hit that home run off Syndergaard, I tell you what, for a little dude, he does not get cheated.
That ball
was smoked. Obviously, Syndergaard producing a lot of energy coming at you, but man, just the idea of the power that you could get out of a number two or a leadoff guy if he ends up being that guy, unbelievable.
Well, and Ozzy's still so raw, too. You know what I mean? Like, he's only going to get better. It's just great. All right, next up, shot in the dark, our crazy predictions for the week that just ended. And we'll begin with our listener shot in the dark from Jeff on Twitter, who predicted that Acuna would make his debut this week and hit a homer in his first at-bat. Acuna not getting called up, making that one tough, but thanks for the submission. All right, so let's see how the three of us did. Hammy, you predicted Ozzy would have two homers, three doubles, and a triple. It was close, a double and a homer for Ozzy this week. Kurt, you stayed with the Ozzy and Dansby theme and predicted the two of them would collectively hit over 330 with six RBI. Almost, but not quite, they hit 289 and drove in three. Now, I predicted that the Braves would sweep the four-game series with the Mets. Of course, the rainout, not to mention Jose Ramirez's implosion, saw that.
But it's really the rainout.
Exactly.
The rainout was really the reason that didn't happen.
I feel like I should get credit from last week that got rained out about Tehran's two starts being under two earned runs each.
I feel like I should get credit too, by the way, if we're going there. So
what was yours? Did you actually get it? Or are you just saying you want credit?
Yeah, it's the latter.
No, I was close.
Good job.
Listen, I think I had it. I think it was a batting average. I'm going to pull it up, jerk.
We'll wait.
It's because I had it.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. So, Ham, while you guys both talk about things that are never going to happen, because there's integrity around this contest.
Well, I've already given myself a koozie.
So. No, mine was Flaherty and Tucker combined to hit under 250 with two or less extra base hits. And that's where they were in Saturday's game.
Oh, but yeah, okay. No.
What? And then the Monday game, Tucker continued to tank, and Flaherty did not hit. That. I bet if we come, whatever. This is so fascinating for our fans.
No one. No, seriously, all right. No one.
But and the good news is I'm still leading the month with two, and Hammy, you have one, and Kurt, you have zero.
Ouch.
All right, so what do you guys have this
week?
Hammy, let's start with you.
I never want to play this game again. I bet that Joey Bats comes up and beats Steve's head to a pulp with his bat.
But then he follows me on Twitter. Afterwards.
Yes, he reenacts the Roughneck Odor thing, but you get to be Joey Bautista this time. And I'm calling him Joey because he's my best friend now. I say that he gets called up this week. He starts a game for the Braves this week and hits a homer in that start.
Wow. All right, Curtis, what do you got?
I'm just going to do the same one that Ham did. That came out so smoothly that we're on the road at Philly, on the road at Cincy, both Little League baseball parks. So I'm going to say that the Braves hit 14 home runs this week.
Man, that would be amazing. I'm rooting for yours. I'm actively rooting against Hammy's, which
hate
is
the Braves. I know. It's weird that you're such a homer and yet you hate the Braves.
All right. I am predicting 4 total walks from the bullpen this week.
Oh, God. In one game? In every game?
I didn't say an average per game. No. All right, folks, remember, you get to play too each week. So don't forget to get your shot in the dark in before first pitch on Monday via Twitter. And if we pick yours, we'll discuss it on next week's show. And you could win an ABT koozie if you hit it exactly. All right, so let's look at the week ahead. 7 games this week, start of a 3-series, 10-day road trip. This week is 4 at Cincinnati, followed by 3 at Philadelphia.
You're falling apart here, Steve.
I am. All right, so Folti, because they're just moving the pitchers up, no one's skipping a turn. Folti faces Sal Romano, household name, and his 5.75 ERA. Next up, Brandon McCarthy faces Tyler Mahle and his 5.14.
Is that Darth's brother?
Yes. In the third game, Whistler gets his second start and faces Brandon Finnegan and his 11.05 ERA.
Yikes.
Yeah. And finishing up, it's a wonder that their record is so bad.
It's a wonder they've even won 3 games.
Finishing up in Cincinnati, Newcomb faces Homer Bailey, the legit starting pitcher, and
Homer,
his 368.
Homer Bailey.
Yeah, really.
He's 368? That's not too bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. On to Philly, where Tehran opens the series against Aaron Nola again, and Nola's 2.3 ERA. Next up, Folti in his second start of the week faces Nick Pivetta and his 2.57. Yeah, again.
Pivetta's good.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Kerr. You were sort of downplaying the Phillies earlier, but the Phillies have some starting pitching, man, and some guys are hitting.
Arrieta is looking
and
amazing.
Arrieta, right, exactly.
All right.
And then we finish up the week.
Stats.
Brandon McCarthy faces Vince Velasquez and his 380. So, Curtis, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts on the record this week?
I'm going to go. I'm doing my math in my head. 5-2. 3-1, 2-1.
Hammy?
Ditto.
Yeah, even though Jose Bautista is going to ruin the team this week, I also have them at 5-2.
8-0.
3-1, 2-1. All right, folks, that is the show. Remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And you can also find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access all of our shows and to post in our comment section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com. Had to admit